This is the 343 Podcast. I'm your host, John Pronich. Welcome to the show. I'm sure you've heard these terms before. Work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, grit, culture, grind, etc. Or I'm sure you've heard the saying, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Because it's just the reality. If you want to get those six-pack abs, it's not going to happen by sitting on your ass, by eating Cheetos, by drinking beers, or binge-watching Netflix every single day. There's case study after case study, testimonial after testimonial, and we will testify as well after having seen what happens to countless players who have passed through our tutelage and the cohort we've competed against and monitored. So in today's episode, Gary Kleiben joins me to share his thoughts and observations regarding work ethic, sacrifice, culture, and mentality, with personal anecdotes and stories of players that he's very familiar with. And we also provide some practical advice for parents who are looking for ways to help their players instill better habits and create an advantage for themselves. We'll get started with this discussion after a brief message about our online coaching education program. Thank you so much for being here with us today. When it comes to coaching education, being able to discern what will and won't help you can be costly and confusing. The internet is flooded with so much information. There are tons of drills out there for you to watch and tons of things that you can try with your players and teams. But without the proper context and the proper guidance from a legit mentor, you are not going to get the edge that you are looking for or the results that you want. That's what the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program gets right. It's rooted in the real experiences of a master practitioner that has coached soccer right here in America. As a coach, Brian Kleiben has been able to overcome all of the obstacles and produce college-level, professional, and international-caliber players. Training just twice per week, field congestion, pay-to-play, you name it. But using the 343 framework and staying consistent with the methodology has led to tremendous success. What the 343 coaching program offers you is a look at Brian's actual work, his real art. It's all captured and delivered to you in its purest form to help you gain an advantage and become a better coach. This exclusive online program features videos of Brian mic'd up during actual training sessions with his real players and teams as they prepare for league games and tournaments. This is the only program in the country that gives you this type of authentic, behind-the-curtain look at player, team, and coach development. It's unlike anything else in this country. It cannot be replicated, and it's not theory or speculation like you'd see in a presentation or something staged like you'd get at a convention. So if you're looking for drills, we've got those. But more importantly, we have the mentorship, the proven results, and the community of ambitious coaches that you won't find anywhere else. To experience all of this, consider joining the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program. You can find all of the details at 343coaching.com. Yeah, so work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, and culture, these are things that, you know, players must have. These are non-negotiable things when it comes to the development puzzle. These are mandatory pieces. And they aren't widely talked about, which a lot of the topics that we're touching on in this series of podcasts are not widely talked about. And I think this is a good peek behind the curtain, especially this episode, a good peek behind the curtain at what it really takes and what the real sacrifice is and what the real mentality is and how hard these guys actually have to work in order to, you know, reach their goals. So as we typically do, I want to start with just some of your general thoughts about, you know, the topics of work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, and culture, and what prompted you to write about this years ago before any of the players that, you know, you and your brother Brian were working with, you know, even had an inkling that they were going to become professional players. So what about these topics made you write about this, you know, so long ago?
Two things always come to mind: experience and theory. Now, in the era of social media, we all see these motivational quotes or inspirational quotes along the lines of these things that you're talking about: work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, culture, blah, 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 or read books, you know, based on those things. And we all, I think it's a safe bet, we all generally agree with the sentiments expressed in those inspirational quotes and books or self-help type of things, in theory. And sometimes the experience component isn't there. But for me personally, I think I have quite a bit of experience in that regard. I'm not necessarily a spring chicken anymore. You know, I've entered my 40s. You know, personally, I've experienced these things. And then through the game of soccer, I see through the training of the players that we've had and who gets far and who doesn't get far, there's a common element in all of them. And that common element is this work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, and culture. So both in theory and in experience, I see the truths behind having these sorts of things at a high level. So that's what prompts me to write about it, John.
How does a young player begin to learn about these types of things? How does a young player become influenced enough to start to, you know, improve their work ethic, to begin to sacrifice, to change their mentality, to change their day-to-day culture? How does that become part of a player's, you know, day-to-day, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to the household influence, how the parents are, how that whole environment is. They have to inculcate that sort of culture in the player. And then in the arena of sport, in the arena of soccer, hopefully they have a coach who can also inspire them and motivate them to have these sorts of character traits for them to improve. And hopefully that coach is working in a good club environment that shares the same sort of values. And then when the player experiences progress and is having some success, and that success is attributable to the long hours that they put in, the extra work that they put in, the discipline, the commitment, et cetera, then that creates a virtuous cycle, because now it's a real thing for them. They see that all this sacrifice and hard work is paying off, and so they want to do more of it so that they can get better. And when they get better, they want to do more of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's from the young soccer player perspective. I think you need those ingredients there for them to really get it. You know, I want to rewind the tape a little bit, because a lot of times when I see these inspirational quotes or people talking about these characteristics, I do a big eye roll, because we all kind of do this, but many people, and I'm guilty of it too, especially when I was a young pup, like, we don't actually eat our own dog food. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are just putting these inspirational quotes out there and they actually don't do it themselves. Does that make sense? So, and it's this is not to brag or whatever, but I want to give a little bit of a background in case anybody is eye rolling out there. You know, a little bit of my history. I'm kind of weird in that, you know, first I chose to study one of the hardest things there is, and that is physics, and get a graduate degree in that. That requires a lot of commitment, work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, it's blah, 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 blah. I founded three companies. You know, my first company, I founded over 10 years ago. It was an abject failure, you know, but I didn't shrivel up and then say, oh, this isn't for me, I'm no good, I suck, or get discouraged and then just do a traditional 9-to-5. No, I went ahead and started another company, which continues to chug along now, 6 years into it after its founding, being profitable and leveraging a lot of the lessons learned from my first failure into the second company. And then I founded a third company, which continues to this day, founded that 3 years ago, which is a tremendous amount of work. And I had no idea how difficult it would be and how competitive the space would be. And of course, I'm talking about the agency side. So my first company was in electronic medical records. I was in my late 20s. Second company, of course, was 343. This is the podcast that we're on right now. and the products and services that we offer. And then the third company is representing professional soccer players, which actually I started kind of 10 years ago, but that's another story. But now it's really chugging along in the modern environment. So all of this to say, this is not easy. I'm constantly out of my comfort zone. I've sacrificed lifestyle, relationships, high six-figure salaries in the engineering space to work in the private sector. Good God, I work 40 to 80 hours a week, and I've been doing that for well over 10 years now. I have three fucking jobs. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Again, it's not a humble brag at all or anything of that nature, because I'm still a complete nobody. As an entrepreneur, I'm a complete nobody, period. I'm just a kind of an obscure person who's trying to do the best that he can. But I'm just trying to say, listen, when I throw out these inspirational quotes, or I want to talk about work ethic, sacrifice, mentality, and culture when it relates to soccer and the development of soccer players and of professional soccer players, that at least maybe I have a little bit of background to know what I'm talking about.
And to bring it back to where you kind of started when you began talking about that, when you talked about the social media era and in quotes, inspirational quotes. And I agree with you that most people are probably familiar with that side of like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. But as you wrote about this, you actually included a quote, which I find very interesting. And it kind of plays into what you were just talking about. And the quote is, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard." And I'm sure a lot of people are very familiar with that quote too. And what I think about when it comes to soccer specifically, when I hear that quote, I think about one other thing that you and your brother Brian have talked about quite often, and Brian, I think, uses it more than you, but the phrase God-given. So there's people in soccer that just have God-given talent. Lionel Messi is maybe one of those people. And then there's people that didn't have that God-given talent that had to absolutely work their faces off to achieve what they've achieved. And then the flip side to the Messi, the God-given Messi, is somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo, who's, you know, famously known for being the first person at training, the last person at training, working his ass off in the gym, those types of things. So the God-given versus hard work. And then going back to that quote, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So if Messi just wanted to chill, then he might get passed by somebody. But, you know, fortunately, Messi's not the type to chill. But there are plenty of other people that have God-given talent that do decide to chill and get passed up by people that aren't as talented because they choose to work hard. So that's what came to mind when you were talking.
No, for sure. And you know, people might think, hey, okay, you're talking about Messi or whatever. And I think you're just using Messi as an example because everybody knows who that is. But bringing it down to a level where that's a little bit more obscure, but I have personal experience in, is the American players. And I've seen so many American players who are on youth national teams, so that caliber, who are ultra talented and then are kind of on cruise control and don't put in the extra work. And they end up falling off the face of the planet, you know, or guys who end up signing here on homegrown deals. The same thing ends up happening. We touched on this on another episode, but it's worth repeating. You know, they start making a little bit of money. They go from making $0 at age 16, 17, 18 to making $60,000 a year or $80,000 a year. And they buy their little car and their little apartment, little girlfriend, go out to eat and stuff. And then they, you know, forget about putting in the extra work to really solidify themselves as professionals. So there is a jump there from amateur to professional. And a lot of players don't seem to adjust well in that transition, because, you know, getting to a level of professionalism whereby you'll be successful, treating it as a job now at this point, it's their first experience, I think, in the workforce. And some people take it well, some, and others don't, you know, and the ones who do the work ethic, sacrifice mentality, they get far.
And we tend to reference a lot of professional examples, like you said earlier, because people know who they are. And I'm sure in just a moment, we're going to talk more about professional players, and they may or may not know who these names are. But we've also mentioned that it doesn't have to just be limited to people with professional aspirations. So it can be, you know, a 12-year-old that just wants to go from being on the bench to becoming a starter. It can be a 14-year-old that is looking to make the, you know, the premier level team at his club. It could be the kid that wants to jump from JV to varsity, or, you know, get a college scholarship. So there's a lot of different examples that could be actually more relatable to whatever environment the these families and players are in. And it still applies. Like, if you're going for a college scholarship, you, if you work harder than the other people that are at your same talent level, but you put in, you know, 3, 4, 5 extra hours per week more than they do, you're increasing your chances of fulfilling your goals. And yeah, of course it applies at the professional level with those aspirations too, but all the way down to the root level too. And I wanted to make sure that we, you know, we don't forget to mention that, because yeah, everybody has a place in this.
No, 100%. And thankfully, if the aspiration isn't the professional level, but it's just improve and beat out your local regional counterparts, you don't have to go crazy in the work ethic sacrifice department. You just have to be a little bit better than the next guy.
Can we maybe talk about some players that are, you know, they have made the sacrifice? Are you aware of any players that have, you know, done the work, players that have the right mentality, people that possibly, you know, anybody that's listening to this podcast can begin to follow or begin to study? Are there any players that come to mind?
Well, something that's in recent memory and our audience can probably best relate to is the exodus of young players to Europe who rejected opportunities here with MLS or the affiliates of MLS who are playing in USL. So guys like, you know, Richie Ledesma, Sebastian Soto, Chris Gloucester, Taylor Booth, Michael Edwards, Josh Sargent, and of course, you know, the guys that are near and dear to me, because, you know, I've worked with them since they were 9 years old, Uli Yanez, Alex Mendez, Kobe Hernandez Foster, all these guys gave up what would be considered easy street or the easy route, which is just, you know, signing some sort of deal here and becoming a quote unquote professional, and opted instead to go, you know, halfway across the world, the other side of the planet, to a country where they don't know the language and start from scratch there, you know, and earn their way to a first team environment, earn their way to a big contract. That's not easy. And these guys were, you know, 17 years of age when they made that trek over there. So I don't know where you were at when you were 17, John, but at 17, I was, you know, still within 20 miles of where I was born, starting my college experience in a commuter school. I didn't even move out of my house. I was still with my parents. So I mean, that takes a lot of balls and sacrifice for these kids to say, you know what? No, thank you. I'm out of here.
Now, obviously, you know, uprooting your entire life and moving halfway across the world, not speaking the language, doing it at such a young age, that is a big sacrifice. Where does work ethic fall into that picture for these guys that you kind of, you just listed, maybe, you know, 8 to 10 guys? Where do you think work ethic falls into in that picture?
No, it's huge, because while they made the sacrifice to go across the world, that's just one of the topics or one of the things that we're talking about. The other thing is, of course, work ethic. I mean, you can uproot and go over there, but then if your work ethic isn't up to par or isn't off the scale, well, guess what? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it, and you'll probably have to tuck your tail between your legs and then come back home here to MLS, never to become something special in football again. So work ethic is of paramount importance for all of these guys to establish themselves as top flight European players.
I'm struggling to remember the two things that Brian normally tells his players at the beginning of training sessions or when he takes over a new team. Maybe you can help me out. But I know one of them is that work ethic is non-negotiable. And I like that phrase, non-negotiable, as well. But you know, when he meets new players or when he's talking to players, he's basically telling them that, you know, you control your work ethic, and I'm expecting you to put in as much as you possibly can at every single moment. I don't know if that's something that, you know, became ingrained in the guys like you mentioned, Alex, Uli, and Kobe. I don't know about the other guys, but you know, that work ethic being non-negotiable, I think, is something that can be applied again in whatever environment people are in.
Yeah, that's something you control. Your performance, maybe not necessarily. You might be off in your touch. You might be off or out of form for whatever reason. But work ethic, you can always control. And John, there are levels here, okay? So while these guys may have had, quote-unquote, great work ethic here in the States, in the academy environment or in the second team environment, it's a different animal overseas. It's much more competitive, and you have to beat somebody else out for their job. And the level of work ethic required may, in fact, be quite higher than what their work ethic was here in the States. So it doesn't mean that, you know, any of these guys have made it yet. There's still an adjustment that has to be made. They have to up their game in the work ethic department.
I think you painted a pretty good picture of sacrifice when you mentioned, you know, these guys like uprooted and left for Europe at such a young age, turned down money, those types of things. But can you maybe provide some specific examples of, you know, how somebody can improve their work ethic, or even like what a good example of work ethic might be?
I mean, I think you have to establish habits, because once you establish habits, then your brain is wired to repeat the patterns that you set up for yourself. So if your habit is to wake up at 5 a.m, like these outrageous savage animals that you read about, and, you know, put in 2 or 3 hours of work before anybody else is even awake yet, then you've kind of won the day. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you've seen these sorts of inspirational quotes surrounding that. And if you do that repeatedly, then that becomes part of who you are. And then the work ethic just comes along for the ride because you've already incorporated it into your being. You can't be the type of person where you say, today I'm going to take the day off. Tomorrow I'm going to get serious. Because then you start setting up that type of habit where you're constantly every day saying, tomorrow will be more serious. Tomorrow will be more serious. And then you're just going to skid down into the abyss and never dig yourself out. So I think habits is the key word there.
Yeah, just a kind of a quick funny story. Yesterday, I met somebody who is very close with David Goggins. People might know who David Goggins is. He's very popular right now. I've been on Joe Rogan's podcast. He has a new book, but he's basically like just this hard worker, crazy mentality. He does like over 100-mile runs. And the guy I was talking to yesterday that knows him well said that David Goggins was actually a absolutely terrible runner, just dog shit runner, couldn't run or race for anything. But his mentality was the thing that really set him apart from everybody else. And so all these years later, 15, 20 years later, David Goggins is now this big celebrity in that space. And he's now known for, running. He's now known for these ultra, ultra marathons, while some of these other guys have really faded into the abyss. And so it really came down to this guy's work ethic and this guy's mentality and how he set up all of his habits and everything. And so if people aren't familiar with who that is and they're looking for an example of, you know, or a book to read or somebody to follow on Instagram, that could potentially be somebody to follow, as a very clear example of what that can do for you if you establish these habits and these routines.
And start small. Something that's so simple that everybody can do, every soccer player can do, every parent can help their young player do, we're talking about youth player, is make sure that you're the first to training and the last to leave from training. Hey, that's a good starting point. If training starts at, 5 p.m., be there, at 4:30. And if somebody's there at 4:30 or if the coach is already there at 4:30, get there at 4:15 and just make it part of who you are, that you are there earlier than everybody else. And maybe take a ball with you and, do a little bit of juggling or whatever it is that you want to do, do it. If you want to be on your phone and just watch soccer highlight clips on YouTube or something while you wait for your teammates to show up, fine, do that. But show up at 4:15 instead of 5 p.m. and then be the last to leave. Practice is over. Training is over. You say goodbye to everybody, but you stay at the field. And maybe you work on, an extra bit of shooting, an extra bit of dribbling, an extra bit of fitness, if you'd like, and stay 15 minutes later than everybody else. Just do that. and then make it part of who you are.
I want to come back to the parent influence in just a moment, but I want to get your take on how culture fits into this whole picture as well. Well, because the word culture can mean maybe different things to different people. We've talked about it in different ways on this podcast before, but when you mention culture when it comes to this part of development, what are you meaning by that?
One way I view culture is a set of values. And so, let's roll with the example I just gave, John, where you show up early for training, you leave late after training. Make that a value of yours, and then that becomes part of your culture. And if you're a young player, a youth player, and your parents are the ones facilitating that, then that becomes part of your family culture. Another value could be we watch, two professional soccer games on the weekend, every single weekend while the season is in play. That's a value that you develop. That's a culture that you develop in the household. And now that is something that is aligned with you progressing in the game. If we keep it to those sorts of things, you can come up with all kinds of values, exercise them, make them part of your habits, and then that becomes culture.
And then going back to, the parent influence and how a parent is part of this process. You mentioned, if one of the things that you want to change is getting to training, 30, 45 minutes early or staying late 15, 30 minutes, that, the parent has to be part of that for most of the player's youth career, up until the player can drive in most cases. And so, the players are going to need the help of the parent or the household. So, what are some other thoughts on how the parents or how the household can become a better influence or become a proper influence in this space?
The parents finding alternative training solutions for the player outside of the team environment. So investigating and finding out about personal trainers, maybe even hiring a personal trainer if they have the wherewithal financially and time-wise to do so. If not that, then making the commitment to educate yourself in a way that then you as the parent can educate your son or daughter into being a better footballer, both in theory, in so far as how to analyze games or how to watch games or what to look for. So when you're there watching a professional match with your kid, then you can make good commentary or being able to go in the backyard, in the front yard, or taking them to a park and becoming the personal trainer of your player yourself. But for that, hopefully, if you haven't played the game, you can still educate yourself and take a look at what activities would help improve your player and going out and facilitating that extra time on the ball for them.
One of the biggest takeaways is something that you already mentioned too, is to not be overwhelmed by this. Whatever stage you are at in the development process or whatever stage your player is at in their youth career, even in their older youth career too, but to not be overwhelmed and to just try to make one little change at a time. It doesn't need to be some big drastic change. And so it's just, as you mentioned in the article that we're kind of basing this conversation around, it's that, making conscious moves from here on out. So not just doing things all willy-nilly, but these are now taking it one step at a time, but it's with the knowledge of, what this is really going to take in order to achieve the goals, whatever those may be. So I guess kind of just looking for any last thoughts from you.
Another value that can contribute to having a good culture in the household, or if you're out of the household and you're already a pro or whatever, or an adult, is really valuing being out of your comfort zone and never, settling and saying, I'm in cruise control. Being out of your comfort zone constantly sets up an environment where you're constantly learning new skills. And it's just, a great habit to have so that you're not fearful of anything in life, right? Is trying new things, learning new things, which a lot of people are scared of for one reason or another. So I think that needs to be part of the culture too.
And maybe this is a separate episode, but we can definitely talk about it or touch on it just briefly, is the fact that the American soccer environment tends to be like cruise control. So, you know, Major League Soccer, cruise control, there's no real punishment or reward for doing bad or good. So that kind of creates this environment where everybody is just, in chill mode. And that is detrimental to players' development at the professional level, but then also all the levels below that. And I think, again, just to kind of help people see clearly, the path forward is that, if that's your ambition is to play in Major League Soccer and you're being influenced by that environment, then you need to be hyper aware that that is, that is an environment for developing mediocre or, run of the mill type players. And then all those names that you listed earlier, the Glossers, the Chris Richards, the Ledesmas, Mendez, Llanas, Kobe, those players left for a cauldron, and those players absolutely are not allowed to chill. If they do, they get eaten alive. And the difference between those two environments, I think, can really, if somebody really wanted to study the sacrifice that was made, I think that's a really, really good case study and something really, really worth your time if you're looking to really understand the differences in those two paths.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of the designated players who come from Europe late in their careers to the league here, they many a times, if not most times, if not all times, get very frustrated with their teammates, with their coach, and with whatever franchise they happen to be at. Zlatan being the most memorable because he was the most vocal about that. Because why? Well, he comes from an environment where work ethic is non-negotiable. Sacrifice and consistently strong on the mental side of being a professional is demanded overseas. Over there, because it's so competitive, and when you come here and everybody's in cruise control, that's an environment that somebody like Zlatan or these high level players don't enjoy and don't like, unless they are kind of in that mindset of, I've been there, done that, now I just want to retire, frankly speaking, and I don't care anymore.
Any last thoughts on work ethic, sacrifice, culture, mentality?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it.
Our flagship program helps coaches and trainers discern what is good for their teams and for their players. But now we've created a program for parents. Because parents, you are personal trainers too. Yep, that's right. And in order to properly mentor your player, you need to know what's good and what's not. Just like coaches, you and your player are flooded with thousands of training videos on YouTube and Instagram, but most of them are a waste of time because they aren't relevant. They don't translate to the real game. And figuring out what does and what doesn't, and why, is just flat out difficult, especially if you don't have a background in soccer to lean on. So we've taken Brian Kleiben's more than 20 years of experience working with teams and individual players, from U9 to U19, and extracted valuable lessons that can help you navigate the minefield that is American youth soccer. But this isn't just about drills. That's only a small fraction of it. And to be honest, you can get drills anywhere. What you're getting with the 343 Masterclass are the cultural lessons and an education in philosophy that other trainers and courses don't offer. It's these elements that can help you understand the landscape, read the game on and off the field, and translate everything into real development for your player. Right now, you can get on the list for the 343 Masterclass. We are currently rolling it out little by little to small groups. To reserve your spot, go to 343masterclass.com. All right, thank you for listening. Do you have a question about the topic that we covered in this episode? If so, we'd love to hear from you, and we will be answering some of your questions at the end of next week's episode. Submit your questions on Twitter or head to 343coaching.com to leave your question in the comment section. Make sure that you are subscribed to 343 FM on your favorite podcasting app. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and many more platforms. And if you're feeling super generous, We'd love it if you dropped us a 5-star rating or a review. And don't forget that you can find our entire library of podcast episodes, over 200 written articles, and our online courses that help accelerate the development of coaches and players using methods that have been proven to work here in the United States. Once again, all of that can be found at 343coaching.com. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time here on the 343 Podcast.